Blog Talk Radio.
The Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. Hi,
this is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. This is the Light of Truth radio. The light of This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
Yeah, Gene. All right. Well, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And once again, here we are, much to talk about, much to discuss, because apparently there is no week that goes by without something relevant popping up in the news, without something in the news cycle sort of making bells ring, as it were. We are not live right now. However, we are so close to live, we might as well be. Because I am recording this on a Thursday afternoon, which is this Thursday afternoon, the 22nd of August, 2019. Whenever I can, I do like to record these just a few hours early, because that way it allows me to spend time with my family, have dinner with them, play with my girls, do fun stuff. So thank you for your understanding. Like I said, I try to make these as fresh as possible because the news cycle is such that if you recorded 2, 3, even 4 days in advance, it's already too late. Something new has come along, something new has happened, something new has, grabbed the attention of the pupil, that's it. You know, we have short attention spans, and I don't think that's always a good thing. We go from one thing to another, and we become mentally exhausted. We don't isolate one thing and do a deep dive into it. We don't isolate one thing and try to remedy it, because it's just one thing after another, and all of them are vying for our time. All of them are vying for our attention. And eventually we become, the best way I can put it is we become repositories of information. We don't do anything to affect the situation itself. We just consume. We become consumers of information. We become repositories and or depositories, if you will. I don't think that's a good mindset to have. So today we're going to get into what has happened in Illinois. I wrote an article about it this morning. And while I was writing this article, the only thing that was going through my mind is, what more can these people do? How much further into the depths of darkness can we descend? And they confirmed that they can, because I found a new article, and it's not by, you know, some offshoot thing. It's not by some unknown magazine. It's an article that were actually that was actually published in Newsweek. So it is a reputable magazine. It is a reputable publication. And when we start talking about exactly what it is that they're putting forth as a query, you will understand that depravity has no bottom. the depths of depravity keep going and going and going. And just when you thought that, hey, okay, it can't get any worse, somebody finds a way to make it worse. But first, I want to get into this article I wrote. If you didn't know, recently the governor of Illinois signed a bill into law that's mandating public schools to teach LGBTQWXPPY, whatever else letter there is in that whole thing, history. So that's the crux of the article I put together, because they're going after the kids. They're trying to get to the kids as early as possible and trying to normalize something that is an abomination that has no continuity of species in and of itself. So I'm going to read the article to you first. Then we're going to get into, you know, the newest thing to pop on the radar, the newest thing to sort of become a topic of conversation. And there are so many things that are happening. There are so many things that are being pushed. Things that 20, 30 years ago people would have discounted and dismissed offhand. It would have made them blush or think the individual trying to push the particular point was insane. But no longer. So, today's writing was called Rewriting History, and it begins thusly. Recently, the governor of Illinois signed a bill into law mandating that public schools now teach homosexual history. That's right. I will not go down the rabbit trail of LGBT whatever it is. It's homosexuality. Therefore, it's homosexual history. As one can expect from a jelly spine church still suffering from the meat sweats due to the last successful potluck, there has been very little pushback or uproar. It is a foregone conclusion that this faux history will be painted in the best possible light. And by the time they're done putting together the curriculum, you'll likely discover that it was someone in the homosexual community who discovered everything from the cure to polio to electricity to the combustible engine. It will not be a teaching of history as much as a rewriting of history. How far back will they go? Will the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah be included in the lesson plan? Somehow, I highly doubt it. Will the correlation between the homosexual lifestyle and the spread of AIDS be made clear? Again, highly doubtful. What this law is intended to do is not to teach history, but to normalize an abomination. It is not to highlight accomplishments made by those with specific proclivities, but to conclude that, save for the homosexual community, we would still be drawing stick figures on walls of caves and cooking our meat on hot rocks in the midday sun. Whenever a society normalizes the aberrant, there is always something more aberrant waiting in the wings to be normalized. And keep that in mind. Whenever a society normalizes the aberrant, there is always something more aberrant waiting in the wings to be normalized. This particular sentence dovetails into what we're going to get into, and the thing that, quite frankly, disgusted, shocked me, but didn't surprise me, because I know the nature of evil, and you should too. I know that evil doesn't stop. It doesn't say, hey, we've done so much to attempt the destruction of morality, family, decency, and everything else. Maybe we should take a break. No. Full throttle, pedal to the metal, continuous, nonstop attempt at destroying civilization. That is what evil does. But let's continue with this article. What this law is intended to do is to teach history, is not to teach history, but to normalize abomination. I've said it before, and I will say it again. To say that this is an exaggeration is a non-starter. because we have seen it play out in real time over the past few years. We went from normalizing homosexuality to normalizing transgenderism to lobbying for the age of consent to be lowered to 10. Then we went to branding parents who have a problem with their preteen daughters seeing fully grown men in wigs in the girls' bathroom as bigoted. Every news story that paints the sexually aberrant in a negative light gets squashed instantly. And so we never hear of little girls getting assaulted in public bathrooms, grown men exposing themselves to children not old enough to understand what is happening, or old men grooming teenage boys to be their playthings. Nothing to see here. Move along and keep your mouth shut. If you want to talk about it, you guessed it, you're a bigot. Nobody wants to have an honest conversation because the perverts and the pederasts have become a protected class. And we are sacrificing our children's innocence on the altar of inclusivity and tolerance. Look, they're already teaching children who should have no other concern than whether or not the fireflies they caught in the mason jar will survive the night about anal intercourse and oral copulation. And I know there are some people right now hearing my words that are clutching their pearls, as it were, and looking for a fainting couch. But this is what they're teaching children. Look, if we're too demure to speak the truth, if we're too demure to actually expose what these people are doing, we are never going to win this battle. Understand this. I don't use these words for shock value. I use these words because this is what they are teaching children. Children who should have the whole of their innocence. Children too young to comprehend or perceive what they're being taught in school. How much further into the depths of darkness must we descend? How much more of our children's innocence must we surrender before the church pushes back? We keep comforting and consoling each other and ourselves with the mantra that light will always prevail over darkness. But for this to occur, the light must show itself. It must make itself known. It must shine bright. If the light is absent, darkness reigns. Where is the light? Pray tell, where is the light? And that was my article from this moment, from this morning. Now, I want to go back and again, read this one thing over and over again, because I believe this is going to be the overarching theme of today's program. Whenever a society normalizes the aberrant, there is always something more aberrant waiting in the wings to be normalized. And with that, I take you to a Newsweek article posing a question to one and all. Is it time to rethink the taboo on cannibalism? Yes, you heard that correctly. No need to adjust your volume. Newsweek is actually putting forth the question as to whether or not it's time to rethink the taboo on cannibalism. And I can't help but think back on all the people that looked their noses down on everyone who decided it was time to expose the idea of the slippery slope and point it out. It was as if we were saying something nasty about their mothers. they would get almost violent. Oh, shut up with your slippery slope. There's no such thing as a slippery slope. Why can't you allow love to be love? Love, love, love is love, love, love. And then how quickly did we hopscotch from homosexuality to pedophilia to attempting to lower the age of consent to 10? 10! Kids who are 10 are not old enough to consent to anything. And the fact that grown adults are trying to push this legislation tells you exactly what camp those grown adults are in. Look, there are people being murdered to keep the whole pedophilia thing and how big it is in certain circles and among a certain class of people from coming to light. We discussed this last week, and the reason we discussed it is because it was relevant. Jeffrey Epstein got murdered in a cell in Manhattan so that rich and powerful people wouldn't get exposed for the monsters that they are. So the next time someone tells you, oh, you're just overreacting, you're exaggerating, there's no such thing as a slippery slope, hey, point them to this. We've come to the point whether we're considering, we're asking the question, we're having the conversation as to whether or not it's time to rethink the taboo on cannibalism. And this is how it begins. It's just cringeworthy. It's beyond cringeworthy. Since cannibalism is found throughout the animal kingdom and therefore is something natural, perhaps it is time for humans to rethink the ultimate taboo against eating human flesh, Newsweek proposes in an article on Wednesday, which is yesterday. Let that sink in. These are grown people that get paid to be reporters. And this is the shot across the bow. This is their entire argument. Animals do it. Why can't we? Well, animals eat feces too. Have at it. How is it natural if an animal does it? Animals have no reason. Animals have no logic. Animals have no soul. I'm sorry, dog lovers, your doggies aren't in heaven. Let's just get past that, shall we? And I know I'm going to get, I guarantee you, of all the things that we'll be talking about today and have talked about today, the thing I'm going to get the most hate mail about is the fact that dogs have no soul. Cats don't either. And I guarantee you, I know it as sure as I know that today is Thursday, that's what I'm going to get the hate mail about. Not the fact that we're attempting to normalize pedophilia, not the fact that there's a cabal of powerful people murdering individuals who know their secrets, not the fact that it is now mandated law in Illinois for your children to be taught homosexual history, but the fact that I dared say little Poochie isn't waiting for you in heaven. And that should tell you more than anything else. That is sad beyond measure. So, again, just because animals do it, it doesn't make it natural. Animals are animals. That's why they're called animals. But let's begin this anew, because it's cringeworthy beyond measure. Since cannibalism is found throughout the animal kingdom and therefore is something natural, again, and you see the connection they make where there is no connection, because it's found in the animal kingdom, therefore, hey, it's natural. So, you know, go grab a shank off of Aunt Betty and have yourself a steak. What on earth? This is where we've come to. This is the lunacy that is being peddled. But yes, I know you're going to write me about, you know, Buster not chasing Doggy Bones with the angel Gabriel. Let's get back into this, because I'm going to keep rereading this first sentence and finding something new to be just disgusted about. But we're going to have to push through eventually, because there's more disgust coming. From the top, one more time. Since cannibalism is found throughout the animal kingdom and therefore is something natural, perhaps it is time for humans to rethink the ultimate taboo against eating human flesh, Newsweek proposes in an article Wednesday. But again, I'm going to push through. No, I will push through. Next sentence. Here it goes. There is nothing necessarily unethical or unreasonable about eating human flesh, declare psychologists Jared Piazza and Neil McClatchy of Lancaster University. These people should be put in a white padded room. They should be institutionalized and never allowed to talk to other human beings again except for to ask for water and food. If this is the conclusion you come to as a psychologist, you should turn in your diploma. There is nothing necessarily unethical or unreasonable about eating human flesh. Really? How have we come to this? Look, I remember when was it? Jeffrey Dahmer, because he was from Wisconsin. I remember when that was a national headline for months on end. Well, if it was Jeffrey Dahmer today, apparently he would just be taking a page out of psychologist Jared and Neil and, you know, doing as they say, because there's nothing unethical or unreasonable about eating human flesh. Look, understand the depravity to which we've sunk. Because once you understand the depravity to which we've sunk, you will also understand that judgment is necessary, that judgment is deserved, that we have come so far that the only thing that can cleanse is fire. It's astounding. We're only into the second sentence, and the hair on the back of my neck is just, ah. So again, second sentence, beginning. There is nothing necessarily unethical or unreasonable about eating human flesh, declare psychologists Jared Piazza and Neil McClatchy of Lancaster University. Lancaster University should have its papers pulled. They should not be allowed themselves, they should not be allowed to call themselves a university or a place of higher learning. I'm sorry, if this is who you hire, if this is who you employ, if this is who gets a paycheck from Lancaster University, I'm so sorry, just should not be a teaching institution. So, but be careful reasoning over the merits of cannibalism. Again, no, it's not. Their argument is that the merits of cannibalism are often overridden by our feelings of repulsion and disgust. So if not for the fact that, you know, considering eating Grandma Betty is repulsive and disgusting to you, there's actually merits to cannibalism. These people need to be institutionalized. And these are the self-same people who are going to determine if you are a danger to yourself or someone else and not allow you to possess a gun, because these are the psychologists, aren't they? These are the people that go squirming in your brain to see if you have, you know, an aptitude for violence. I'm sorry, these people are not burgers. They are insane, certifiably insane. So it's only your feeling of disgust and repulsion that is keeping you from realizing all the merits of cannibalism. Now, it continues. We got a lot to cover. It continues. While not going so far as to recommend cannibalism, what, like keto? Saying there's no need to overcome our repulsion for the foreseeable future, the two authors suggest that humans could master their aversion for human flesh if they needed to. No. No, 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 no. Many people develop disgust for all kinds of meat. It's not meat. It's a human being. Oh, I don't know if I can get through this thing. Honestly, I do not know if I can get through the entire article because I skipped breakfast and lunch. Many people develop disgust for all kinds of meat, while morticians and surgeons quickly adapt to the initially difficult experience of handling dead bodies, they note. I'm sorry, there is a delineation between a mortician or a surgeon who handles a dead body and you eating it. If you can't see the difference, you don't deserve to breathe. So you're conflating a mortician's acceptance of dealing with dead bodies and a surgeon's acceptance of dealing with dead bodies and saying, hey, you know, if you're a mortician and deal with a dead body or cut yourself a nice flank steak from Bob, same thing. Are you insane? Our ongoing research with butchers in England suggests that they easily adapt to working with animal parts that the average consumer finds quite disgusting. Again, we're conflating butchers who butcher pigs and cows and chickens with carving up a human being and saying, hey, you'll get used to it. Don't worry about it. You may be averse to it at first, but you know, you'll get used to it. Unbelievable. Moreover, the psychological revulsion experienced over the prospect of consuming human flesh is not the product of reason and may even contradict reason, they write. So, if you have an aversion, if you have a repulsion, if you have an objection to consuming human flesh, your position is contradictory of reason itself. That is the conclusion they come to. Do you understand where we're headed? I need you to. I need you to understand where we are headed as a society, as a species. I'm flabbergasted. Very rarely am I speechless. The last time I remember being speechless is when I held my youngest daughter in my arms right after she was born. I was the same way with my oldest daughter. It is a moment where it leaves you speechless. This is one of the few times that I'm speechless because just like everything else that is being normalized, they're going to continue to chew away at the edges. They're going to start calling people who oppose this kind of monstrosity unreasonable. Why can't you just be reasonable? So yes, now the push is for cannibalism. Because the devil never sleeps. And the church has given up ground and territory on everything else. Why not float this particular balloon? Why not try this just ultimate betrayal of everything decent? But let's continue. Because yes, there is more. Survivors of the famous 1972 Andes plane crash waited until near starvation before succumbing to reason and eating those who had already died, they propose. So basically, they were unreasonable for not starting to hack up those who died within 20 minutes of the plane crash. This is their conclusion. Why did you people wait until you almost starved? We're having this discussion. This was an actual article published in an actual publication, Newsweek. This is what is being proposed in 2019. It's my skin's crawling. When I'm done with this, I'm going to have to go home and take a boiling shower. But we need to talk about it. Look, not pretending it doesn't exist, ignoring this sort of pathology will only allow it to fester and be normalized. We've ignored too many things. Only to see them explode, only to see the church embrace them, because, hey, you know, consensus, the majority, oh, everyone's okay with it, why aren't you? This is where we've come to. Because the church has been silent for so long, they think they can now push cannibalism. I'm sure that there's going to be some sort of write-up about someone who, you know, doesn't want to be judged for their necrophilia at some point. Because, you know, love is love. Who are you to judge? This is what silence begets you. Keep being silent. Honestly. I know. Keep writing angry letters about, you know, Butch the puppy not being in heaven. Don't deal with the reality of what we're seeing happening in culture, of what we're seeing happening in the society. No, get angry at Mike because your kitten's not in heaven and it didn't have nine lives. I'm at this point, isn't judgment deserved? Isn't it a long time coming? Isn't it past due even? I don't know, just asking. Let's continue. Roll up your sleeves. All sorts of animals eat members of their own species, from spadefoot tadpoles and Australian redback spiders to gulls and pelicans. Well, guess what? You're none of those things. You're not a spadefoot tadpole, you're not an Australian redback spider, and you're not a gull or a pelican, you're a human being. And to put forth the idea that cannibalism is just as normal as when pelicans and gulls do it, it's just insane. And of course, it continues. No, why stop here? And cannibalism can even be found among mammals, they add, as with many rodents, as well as bears, lions, and chimpanzees, because they are animals. They have no soul. They do not acknowledge a creator. They do not understand that it is wrong, evil, unspeakably taboo to consume the flesh of another human being as a human being. Yet humans seem entrenched in their conviction that anthropophagy is simply wrong. How can you be so narrow-minded? How can you be so dense? Why would you remain entrenched in your conviction that anthropophagy is wrong? Because it is. That's why most people believe it's wrong and remain entrenched in their conviction, because it is. Human revulsion towards cannibalism stems from our tendency to associate personhood and flesh, the authors propose. Even when the flesh in question is no longer living, even if we can bring ourselves to deem cannibalism morally acceptable, really, that's what we jump to now. So in one breath, we went from, humans still have a revulsion, and it's sort of a entrenched conviction that we shouldn't, to, even if we can bring ourselves to deem cannibalism morally acceptable, we can't silence our thoughts about the person it came from, really. And so our bias against eating human flesh persists. So, maybe if it's someone you didn't know. It's like eating a pet. If your pet was a pig. If you named it, it's a lot harder, to enjoy the bacon. So what they're saying is, maybe someone you don't know. If it's Uncle Bob or Aunt Betty, you might have an aversion. But what if you didn't know them? Maybe we can bring ourselves to think cannibalism morally acceptable then, huh? Unbelievable. The way we interact with animals shapes the way we categorize them. Research shows that the more we think of animals as having human properties, that is, as being like us, the more we tend to think they're gross to eat. While noting in passing that philosophers have argued that burying the dead could be wasteful in the context of the fight against world hunger. Oh, dear Lord. So this is the context, is it now? Wouldn't that make for a great bumper sticker? Don't bury your dead, eat them. Because now we've thrown world hunger and the fight against world hunger into the mix. While noting in passing that philosophers have argued that burying the dead could be wasteful in the context of the fight against world hunger, the authors ultimately do not propose breaking this taboo for now. Not quite yet. But you know what? Give it time. So, I just gave someone a $1 million business idea. T-shirts and bumper stickers. Don't bury your dead, eat them. As per the psychologists at the reputable University, Lancaster. So this is the madness with which we must contend. This is the lunacy that we have to push back against. And if we are unwilling to call it what it is, if we continue to get sidetracked, sidelined, distracted, if we continue to lash out at people who are only pointing out the truth and calling them hateful, I give it 5 years. And then somewhere there will be the first of its kind restaurant to serve, you guessed it. Because the devil doesn't sleep. And I know, that is never gonna happen. Wanna bet? Because all the things that we've been talking about for the last, I don't know, year. What? Transgender story time in church. Politicians pushing for the age of consent to be lowered to 10. Pedophiles in high places, both in politics, in entertainment, in banking. All those things, back 10, 12, 15 years ago when they were being discussed by a handful of people, everybody clutched their pearls and go, oh, that's just an exaggeration. That's never going to happen. Well, guess what? It has. It has, it is, it's happening. And it's only going to get worse. So, if I were a betting man, I would not bet against cannibalism becoming mainstream within a decade. Because, you know, world hunger and all that. That's where we are. And the only thing that we can say is, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. However, there are far too many believers who think that from this moment until the moment of Christ's return, they have no responsibility other than to gaze at their navels and see how big they can build the ball of lint that they pick out of their navels. That's it. Oh, it's brother, why should we contend with darkness when Jesus is coming? Because you are light. By your very nature, you are supposed to contend with the darkness. You are supposed to beat back the darkness. You are supposed to defeat the darkness. The only way it's not happening is if your light is hidden under a bushel. Understand that. By your very nature as a child of God, you ought to be at war with the darkness. By your very nature as a child of God, you ought to push back against the things that you know are abominable to God. Not embrace them, not tolerate them, not validate them, not promote them, not ignore them. But fight. And I fear that the church has lost its fight. It's lost its taste for battle. And so we're going to go along with practically anything as long as the world leaves us alone. And what we're not realizing is that the world might be leaving us alone, but the devil isn't. And so he's sniping our young people. He's sniping our leaders. And you have churches that are dwindling in number for whom the average member was alive when Abraham Lincoln gave his 47 years ago speech. You have every television show, every personality, every singer, songwriter, slash whatever else they call themselves, artist, if you will, demeaning morality, demeaning godliness, demeaning holiness, making it seem as though it's something for, you know, the old fogies. Because one thing the devil knows how to do is play the long game. One thing the devil knows how to do is be patient enough where if he can't get to the present mature generation, he's going to go after the one that's up and coming. And this is why this whole nonsense about teaching homosexual history mandated by the state is so dangerous. They are indoctrinating children. They are propagandizing children. They're taking something that God considers an abomination and normalizing it. They are robbing children of innocence. And on the other side of it, you know, you've got the brain trust at Lancaster University saying the one way that we can be sure to end global hunger is to start eating each other. So I honestly don't know where we go from here. Is there any place to go? This morning, as I was writing my article, I was having the same thought. Where do we go from here? Well, apparently, there's still a few steps. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? Who knows what atrocity psychologists and professors and men of renown will think up? Because, see, it's your fault. You're the unreasonable one. Stop being so unreasonable. Just go along with what these monsters say. So, you know, clap along with everyone who yells abortion at any moment, at any time, for any reason. I don't know, maybe Planned Parenthood could have Jared Piazza and Neil McClatchy of Lancaster University as honorary board members, because right now they're selling the remains of babies for research. But you know, once cannibalism gets going, it'll open up a whole new market. Dear God, help us. And again, I keep coming back to this because I need to hammer it home. If the church is unwilling to stand, if the church is unwilling to fight, if the church is unwilling to put itself in uncomfortable positions for the sake of the truth, then there's no point in me doing this program and me writing anything and anyone doing anything else except huddling down with their families, isolating themselves, and praying that when the end comes, it comes quickly. If we're unwilling, because it's not, we're not unable. Let's just get that off the table. It's not that any of us are unable. We're unwilling. We're unwilling to put ourselves in an uncomfortable position for the sake of the truth. And apparently, these lunatics are not unwilling to put themselves in uncomfortable positions for the sake of a lie. It's beyond me. This article has aged me. I feel older just having read it. Because you know what? This is how normalizing depravity begins. You put up a trial balloon. And if nobody shoots it down, well, then you know you've got open road. You can keep pushing and pushing and pushing. That's how it happened with the whole homosexual agenda. That's how it happened with transgenderism. That's how it's happening with pedophilia as we speak. Cannibalism on the horizon, apparently. Because why do you want to make people suffer hunger when there is plenty of food that you just have a repulsion towards? Because you're gonna end up being the bad guy. You know this, right? If you oppose this sort of monstrosity, if you oppose this sort of degeneracy, if you oppose this sort of abomination, it's you who are unloving and unkind and unreasonable. Why would you want to see children starving when the whole global hunger epidemic can be fixed? Huh? It's the same playbook over and over. Why won't you allow love to express itself lovingly? Okay. Why won't you allow love to express itself lovingly towards a 10-year-old? You see the slippery slope? So, methinks we have a choice, kids. We can either do what is within our nature to do, which is stand up and be light. Or you can, you know, write me and say, stop talking about these things. And I don't know. I'll recite poetry, Shakespearean or otherwise. I'll write my own poetry. It's a sad day. It's a sad day when humans can become as base as animals and justify it and turn around and call those who see a problem with that unreasonable. So I'm looking forward to your angry letters about, you know, animals and souls and whatnot, because I know they're coming. But before you write, consider everything else that we've talked about. Consider what the important topic was. And then if you still feel the need to write an angry letter, by all means. I've gotten plenty in my life. What was it? I recently upset someone because I shop at Walmart. And how dare I? Well, because they have cheap diapers and children poop. So that's why I shop at Walmart. But that's neither here nor there. I can't even encourage you to pray for this nation or pray for the world, because, like I said, when's the point where it's too far gone and you just pray for strength for yourself? When's the moment you realize, like, who was it? It's slipping my mind, but Franklin, not Franklin Graham, his dad, said that, you know, if God didn't judge the U.S., he'd have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. When do we get to that? When do we start to realize that, hey, Billy Graham was his name. I'm sorry, I had a brain fog. Billy Graham said that. When do we look at where we are and the history of all the other nations that were judged for far less, and realizing that we're no more or less important than them, submit to the idea that judgment is deserved? This is 2019. Where will we be in 2025? Because I guarantee you, nobody saw this coming in 1990. And yet here we are. So, as always, thank you for joining us. This has been the Light of Truth Radio broadcast. Keep us in your prayers. This sort of thing stains my soul, and I'm a happy warrior. So it's not without its peril. Anyway, thank you for joining us. Gino, if you've got anything to say, now's your time. God bless everyone.
Well, you know what? Babylon's fallen, and I'd like to go and remind us of Revelation 18. Babylon was full of every evil bird and foul spirit. And the two scripture areas that God gave Dimitri about America are Jeremiah 51, 8 through 15, and Revelation 18. And the Bible says that Babylon's fallen and become a home of every evil spirit. And just to hear Mike reiterate the vile garbage going on and really not much response from the church, it's like we have blood on our hands. It's like Ezekiel 33 mentions, when I warn the watchman, blow a trumpet, and he sees the evil come and he doesn't blow the trumpet, the blood will be on his head. And where are the watchmen, you know? We should be, and where's the church in Illinois? Come on, you know, a month and a half ago, Illinois declared a fetus does not have a human right to live. There's no human rights in Illinois for a fetus. That's demented and crazy. It's like Nazi Germany. And then they came out and do allow infanticide, that you can have a delivery of a baby, and if you don't want to fulfill that delivery, you can have the baby murdered. And I have not heard any response out of the churches in Illinois. How sad is that? We had 4 heartbeat bills overturned in one day by Governor Evers in Wisconsin. I do believe there is an element of people in Wisconsin opposing this crazy governor's agenda. And by the way, Wednesday night, August 28th, we will be having Representative Scott Allen at our church in Watertown, at Christian Life Family Church. At 6:30 p.m., he will be sharing about how we can advocate against the gay pride flag from ever flying above our state capitol again. That meeting is going to be at 211 South 3rd Street, Watertown, next Wednesday. You know, gay pride parades, where's the opposition to that? There should be an outcry of the church in every city that they have gay pride parades, like Nashville, like the Bible Belt. And so it's watchmen that aren't watching and aren't on the wall and aren't advocating against this tyranny of evil. There are some watchmen out there, don't get me wrong, but Mike's right. The church is sleeping. Pre-911 and when Mike had a vision about the 911 disaster that happened in New York, one thing God held the church responsible for was, in Mike's vision, he saw the church, a church of several hundred people snoring. We're there again. And it probably will take another very significant 911 or an earthquake in California, whatever, for God to hopefully wake up some of the church and persecution as well. And you know, you might think it's a broken record to keep saying that. No, we aren't shouting it loud enough. We're not advocating it loud enough. We're attempting as our ministry to blow the trumpet as loud as we can. But believe me, the church needs to wake up, stand up, speak up, and stand against evil and what's going on. So we'll try to get this program. We'll play it tonight at 7 o'clock, and then we'll have it up on YouTube tomorrow. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are all